Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As we study Paul's letter to Timothy, and we, God willing, will do 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy. As we study these letters, we will get to know this young pastor through the things that Paul tells him. But Timothy was a young man. As far as his disposition, he was, shall we say, a bit insecure at times, a bit timid. And Paul is going to have to remind him on more than one occasion that he needs to fight the good fight, that he needs to stand firm, that he needs to not let others look down on him because he's young, that he needs to do what God has called him to do, stirring up the gift that is within him. I mean, Paul's going to be coaching and encouraging, exhorting him to do the job he's been given. A lot of people would have looked at Timothy and said, he'll never make it as a pastor. I don't know why Paul left him in charge. I mean, couldn't some of us have done a better job than this young man? But the fact is, God chose Timothy for the role that he had. Because God knows who we really are and what he has intended for us to do. So, as Paul is writing to an unlikely candidate for this job, Paul reminds him of what an unlikely candidate Paul is. I mean, you're talking about somebody that we never would have picked for the job God gave him. No way. Saul of Tarsus? That was his previous identity. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, he didn't just join in. He didn't just stand there and give approval when Stephen, the first martyr, was being killed. He rounded up Christians. He led the persecution. He got letters so that he could go to various places and say, I have authority to act in this. And he rounded up Christians, dragging them out of their homes, persecuting them even to death in some cases. Yeah, I'd say that's not a very good candidate either. You see, what happens is, when God saves us, he makes us new. All that stuff in our past doesn't determine our future. And so, as you trust in Jesus Christ, and the devil tries to drag up all that junk from before, you need to just remind him of the gospel, which is what this is about. So now let's look together again at these verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Why was Paul an apostle? Well, it looked like a good gig. How much does it pay? Are there any perks? How's the retirement plan? The reason he was an apostle is not because the church in Jerusalem decided, I think he's our man. The reason he was an apostle is by the command of God. God is the one who chose him. God's the one who called him. God's the one who changed him. God's the one who empowered him and equipped him and sent him out. An apostle is a sent one. So he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. This was not his biological son, but he had been a father to Timothy. Timothy's father, biologically, was a Gentile. No evidence that he was a believer, but Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers. And Paul mentored him like a father. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we move on, take that seriously. It's not just a word of greeting. It's a message from God. If God were to send an email to you, what do you suppose it would say? What would God send you by way of text? Straighten up! Is that what you'd expect? I am so disappointed. Is that what you're looking? See? I would certainly say that I would deserve those. But God chooses to speak to his people, and in this case, especially to Timothy, saying, grace, mercy, and peace. I'm so grateful that the peace comes because of the grace and the mercy that God extends to us. We don't have peace with God because we've earned it. We have peace with God because of his grace and mercy.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
But the waves. Then he says, now I'm going to remind you of what the assignment was. When I left you there, I gave you a job to do. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, Paul's leaving this area, you stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer. In other words, they were already doing it. Timothy was to tell them, cut that out. Stop doing that. That's not okay, and you're going to answer to God for it. Command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Now, my wife studies genealogy. But if my wife was asked to share with people in a biblical context, she's not going to talk about ancestry. She's going to talk about Jesus. These folks were making who's related to who the subject of how you gain position. That used to be the way it was. That still is the way it is in some places. But the gospel upends all of that. In Christ, there's no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or barbarian or Scythian. Those categories don't matter anymore. I don't care where you went to college, what your alma mater is. I grew up here. All that stuff. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is going to describe all those kinds of credentials. And he says, I regard it as dung. It's refuse. It's nothing. All the things that were to my credit now I consider as nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what it's about. What God has done for us. And so he says, tell these guys to stop promoting controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. It's not based on credentials. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. What are we trying to accomplish through the teaching of the gospel, through instruction in God's word? We want people to walk in love, to know that they are loved by God and therefore to become channels of his love to others. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these. They heard that, they started there, but then they went off chasing shiny objects. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. There are people who are not always right, but they are always sure. It says they want to be teachers of the law. He says we know the law is good if one uses it properly, but we also know that the law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, for the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. All those hideous behaviors are not just hideous behaviors, they're contrary to what God says we should do. And that's the real issue. You can add anything to that list. If it's not what God says, it's just wrong. He uses a word here in this translation, it says perverts. A lot of people don't think we ought to use any words like that anymore, because that could be offensive. It might be a trigger to somebody, and they don't want to be called a pervert. Well, what does to pervert something mean? If you take something that God created, like, oh, let's say sex, for example, and you, instead of celebrating sex the way that God designed it, twist it and distort it and pursue pleasure in some other way with sex, that is perversion. Whether it is heterosexual or homosexual, it is perversion. And people who live that way, biblically speaking, are perverts. But so are people who do that with, oh, let's say, food. Or, let's say, wealth. Anytime you take what God has entrusted to you and you distort its purpose and use it differently than God ordained, that is perversion. Whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The guy was a scholar, but he was ignorant because he didn't believe the gospel. Grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Why did Christ Jesus come into the world? To save sinners. That was his purpose in coming. He came on a rescue mission because none of us could possibly save ourselves, and all of us are sinners. It wasn't that some people on earth were sinful. It's that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way that we could possibly be saved was for God to reach down and rescue us. And that's why Jesus came. But if you are living in the delusion that either you're not so bad, you don't really need saving, you're still under God's wrath. And if you are living under the delusion that you are so bad that God would never want to save you, you are living under God's wrath because you refuse to believe the gospel. Paul says, I'm the worst. And that's why he chose me. God didn't choose me because I wasn't so bad. Yeah, I was acting in ignorance and unbelief, but that's no excuse. He says, I don't deserve this, but God chose me in order to display his unmerited favor, his amazing grace. For this very reason, verse 16, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Are you amazed that God would save you? If you're not amazed that God would save you, you need to get saved. Because when you come to know Jesus, you don't think, well, you know, I can see, you know, I needed some improvement. No, you're saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And so, Paul says, the reason that he was saved was to display God's grace. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's called a doxology. If you want another word for doxology, you might call it a hallelujah breakdown. It's when you're in the midst of sharing and you just get so excited about the goodness of God, you just have to pause and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us a good example here of how to do that. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Memorize that. Because the fact of the matter is, he is the King eternal. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. If you have to fight the fight, that means it's not automatic and it's not easy. It's intense and it requires energy. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. There are people who profess faith and then turn away. They've rejected it and they turn away, shipwrecking their faith. So are these people who lost their salvation? Yeah, that's why in Matthew 7, Jesus says, depart from me. I used to know you, but you lost your salvation. Is that what Jesus says? No. Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Person may have professed, but it wasn't genuine. They were not trusting in the Lord and seeking to yield their lives to him. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Oh. So Paul actually was able in the spirit realm to allow Satan to attack these guys in hopes that they would repent, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. If you look at church discipline, the purpose is not just to punish, it is discipline that calls the person to repent.
I thought you said that people who turn away, God never knew him.
That's what Jesus is going to say at the end to those who are not saved. Between now and then, I can't look and say, oh, well, that person, definitely not a Christian. But I'll tell you something, folks. God knows. God is the one who's the judge. Are you willing to stop focusing on your track record and start focusing on Jesus? Realize that he is your only hope, that he is the only hope for the world. Why did Christ come? He came to save sinners. We need to spread that message.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.